Sometimes people are under the illusion that when they become a Christian, life will be easy. Life is hard. One of our dear friends in the church this week went to the doctor checking on his recovery, hoping things were looking good, and received the news, you likely have less than a year to live. Life is hard sometimes. Life is hard. We have no idea the battles that lie ahead of us or the struggles that we're going to be in. Talked with someone this week that's battling depression and anxiety. A young person wouldn't have thought it, but it's just a battle that they're engaged in. And I dare say there's probably a lot of you here today could share a battle that you're going through in your life right now. And if you think that you can do it by yourself, you're wrong. Can't do it. In Boy Scouts, we were taught, even in Cub Scouts, weren't we, Charlie? Be prepared. Be prepared. You never know what's ahead of you. So today we're going to talk about the power of God and how the power of God enables us to live a life that is successful. And by that I mean it's according to God's plan. Now this power that God gives us is not, let me get the word right, quantifiable. It's not like how many horsepowers does your engine have. It's not like what kind of torque does your power drill have, or what kind of thrust does that rocket have. It's not quantifiable. But I'll promise you this, it's always enough. God's power is always enough to see us through the battle, and through the struggle, through the temptation, and through the conflict. It is always enough. But it's up to us whether or not we have that power in our life. Always up to us. I want to share a scripture verse from the book of 1 Peter. David, 1 Peter. He's asleep back there on me. His divine power has given us all things that we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. Look at that again. His divine power has given us all things that we need for life and godliness. Peter, this fisherman, who was always fearful, now was telling us about the power that God gives. And remember, Peter is going to be martyred for Christ. History records he was crucified upside down. And he is saying, God's divine power has given us all things that we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who's called us by His own glory and goodness. We need to make certain as we go through life that we're equipped for what lies ahead. In a couple of years ago, a woman from Germany came over to hike the Pacific Coast Trail. Anybody ever hiked it? It's only about close to 2,700 miles long. Goes from Mexico up through California, Oregon. I have to think of my states. California, Oregon, Washington, up into Canada. Covers some pretty high mountains and mountain peaks and ranges. Well, Katarina decided she wanted to take this quest and make this hike. she worked out and got prepared for it. She hiked over 2,000 miles of it, all the way through California, all the way through Oregon. And she found herself in Washington. And she stopped and struck up a conversation with another hiker named Nancy. Nancy asked her, well, how far are you going? Or are you just out for a hike today? Or what are you doing? And she explained to her, no, I'm going to finish the Pacific Coast Trail. I'm going to keep going. Nancy said to her, you plan to hike up into the Cascades today? She said, yes. She said, you're not prepared for it. She said, you don't have the right kind of boots on. You don't have the right kind of coat. Your backpack is way too small. You can't have in it what you need. And Nancy tried urgently to convince Katrina that she did not have the equipment she needed for the rest of her trek. She said, I've covered over 2,000 miles and nothing's going to stop me now. Ever known people like that? So she proceeds for a day. And the next day, as she gets in higher elevations, walking across a creek that she thought was frozen, her feet get soaked. Then the wind picks up coming through the valley. She had a tarp she pulled out, and the wind took the tarp away, and a bag she had on her backpack that had her extra gloves in it. And then the temperature began to drop. She said, a couple hours before evening, she said her hands were almost frozen. She said she could tell her feet were suffering frostbite. She was having a hard time breathing, and all she wanted to do was go to sleep. But she reached into her backpack, pulled out her notebook to write some remarks to her family of how much she loved them, because she was convinced that night she was going to die in the Upper Cascades at Glacial Peak. And she said, as she was about to try to hold that pencil and write, she heard a noise in the distance. It was a noise of chopper blades cutting through the wind. She said, I tried to stand up and motion to him, but I had no strength. But she said, the sound kept getting closer and closer. And when she finally saw the helicopter, there were people hanging outside of it looking for her trail. They have found her and rescued her. The woman she had met the day before, Nancy, had kept an eye on what was happening on the mountain as far as the weather goes. And when she saw the front coming in, she called the rescue division at the Park Service and told them of what was happening, and they went out to find her. I have seen so many people in life think they've got the bull by the horns and everything is good until they come up against that obstacle that they're not prepared for. And then it's just like, now what do I do? I want to share some simple thoughts with you today about how God prepares us for what's ahead of us, and of how we so desperately need to have these skills. Now, I want to show you a picture first, David. This is, just up beside this here, is Mount Everest. Anybody here ever hiked up Mount Everest? It's what, 27,000 feet, something like up there? If you look at the picture, you'll see there's some people up ahead of you there. Those are not hikers. Those are Sherpa. Do you know what the Sherpa are? They live in the Himalaya Mountains in Tibet. They're known for their mountain skills. They hire themselves out to these groups who are going to try to hike up Mount Everest. And they're there, first of all, to tell them what they can and can't do. You can't go that way, you can't do this. And they carry their oxygen tanks for them. They're there to see to it that these people, and some of them are not very smart when they choose to go up Everest, to see to it that they can reach the crest of the mountain and come back alive. They say it is very unwise to attempt it without Sherpa who know the mountain and can tell when the storms are coming in. And yet we attempt in our life to navigate our own struggles without bringing around us the people that know God and walk with God and that can encourage us and guide us to the valley. And I just want to encourage you today that if you are facing an obstacle, find somebody that can help you, getting back to the Word of God. Someone that can help you see what's ahead of you and see the battles you face. Here's the first point is this: God's power is what we need. It's what I need, it's what we need, it's what you need. Peter says His divine power has given us all things that we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. When we talk about godliness, the best description how I could define it would be Christ-likeness. That God's given us everything that we need, not just for life, but to live a life that's pleasing to God. You see, in our own power, friends, we fail. I've not shared this in a couple of years, so those of you who have heard the story, just tune it out. When I was a boy in our old white farmhouse, probably about 900 square foot of farmhouse, one Christmas, it was cold and it rained and rained and rained. The county crew had come by and done some work in the ditch. And for Christmas, my brother Randy got a brand new pair of cowboy boots. But it's Christmas, and I forgot what I'd gotten. It was an outside toy. So I wanted to go outside and play, and Randy wanted to come. And my father's word to me was, "You be careful, you watch out for your brother. Don't mess up your boots." New cowboy boots. So we go out, and again, it's rained, and all this mud, red clay, has washed down in the ditch. I dared my brother to walk in it. You know how brothers are. So he decides to walk in the mud. Every step he took, he got deeper and deeper. And then he looks up at me and said, "I can't get out." He had got to the point his boots were totally covered in mud. His feet were completely covered. And it dawns on me, my dad just told me, "Watch out for your brother. Don't get the shoes dirty." It terrified me. So I run back to the storage shed behind the house and grab a shovel, tried to dig him out. Didn't work. I remember I stuck it behind him in the one place somebody has behind them you could try to pry him out. It didn't work. Well, by this time, he's crying. I'm terrified. I have got myself and him in a predicament that I can't solve. And I said, "I've got to go get Daddy." And I was terrified. And I remember I went up, walked up on the porch, walked in the front door, and my father looked at me and said, "What's wrong?" And I said, "Randy stuck in the mud," just like that. My father came there, just shook his head, and was able to get up on the side and grab him and begin to pull him out. But when he pulled him out, it came out of his boots. And I can't recall if we went back and got those boots or not. Probably did. But here's what happened. I thought I could handle it. A lot of times in life, we get ourselves in a predicament because of our foolishness, our stupidity, our pride, and we begin to wonder, how am I going to get out of this? We need God's power in our life when we go through those battles. If we have to overcome depression, we need help. If we're trying to resist temptation, we need someone to strengthen us. If we want to just forge ahead, we need strength and power that we don't have. What do you need power for in your life? Is it to come out of a discouragement or depression time? Is it to make some tough decisions about some things going on in your life? But on our own, I'm going to tell you, you're going to fail. But with God's power, Peter says, He's given us all things for life. Second point, God's power in us is unlimited. Again, His divine power has given us all things that we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of Him who called us by His own glory and goodness. His divine power. When we define God, one of the ways we describe Him is omnipotent, all power. Remember, He spoke the world into existence. How powerful is God? Look up. Let me have the next slide, David. That ball in the sky is our sun. Did you know a million Earths would fit inside of it? There's enough fuel in that sun to last for billions of years longer. It heats this earth. And there is life here that God created. How powerful is God? Look up. But if you truly want to know how powerful it is, drive out in the country at night. In the next slide, David. This is our Milky Way galaxy. Scientists estimate between 2 and 4 billion stars in this galaxy. And our sun is not a big one. It's just kind of a medium size or small medium. Over 1 billion of them in our galaxy. And I read something astonishing the other day. Astronomers estimate there are trillions of galaxies. Our sun is a small star in this one. There are over 1 million stars in this one. Scientists say likely over 1 trillion galaxies in the universe. How powerful is God? Look up. Look up. Paul in Ephesians makes this statement. I pray that you might know the incomparable great power that works in us. Now, God's power is given to us as needed. Has anybody here ever owned a car that, I mean, it was really a hot car with a large motor in it? I never did. Anybody? Frida, did you have one? All right, Sean and Jan back here. Here's what I know. When you're driving that car responds to the accelerator. And if you just need to go 30, it's going to give you enough power to go 30. I heard a car the other day, it passed Ginger and I on the interstate. And evidently, he put the pedal to the metal, because we heard the roar of the exhaust as he blew by us. God's power is what you need when you need it. And it's all you will ever need. In the Greek, the word power that Paul uses here is dunamis. He says that this dunamis is there available to you. Now, I've got some scholars here. Sean, keep quiet. We translate that word into English. Can you take a wild guess what it is? Dynamite. Paul is telling us you've got this dynamite-like power that is in you. Now, I've never dealt with dynamite. There used to be a swamp on our farm that the beavers made. The beavers came in and dammed up a creek. And whenever it started backing up, they dammed it up a little bit more. And they had a massive dam down there. And it backed up about 15, 20 acres of our bottom land. This huge beaver dam. Well, my father was wanting to clear this out. One day he got the tractor down there thinking he could pull it apart. But he called his friend Norman and said, "Can you get your hands on some dynamite?" And he said, "Absolutely." So they came in and they put dynamite in this beaver dam. Lit the fuse. And it went everywhere. The power in that stick is amazing. Absolutely amazing. And Paul says this dunamis, this power, the same power that created our sun and the universe, is available to us, to me and to you. Paul says it's an incomparable power. There's nothing else even close to it. And when we, and I still think it is the number one argument for the existence of a creator, when we look into space and we see our galaxy and our universe, and you ask any scientist, where did it come from? We don't know. But we can tell you this, that from the studies that we have made, it's moving out. It's constantly expanding. So at some point, there was a great explosion. They call it the Big Bang Theory. That all of a sudden just... Where did the stuff come from? We don't know. Why did it explode? We don't know. But we do, don't we? And God said, "Let there be light." This power is available to you and to me when we're struggling, when we're failing, when we're hurting. Number three, God's power in us is unleashed. I like that word, unleashed. It means you've taken the restraints off. It means you've got this dog and you've untethered him and you've told him to go now. The power's now available. Again, look at the way Peter phrases it. His divine power has given us all things that we need for life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. His divine power has given us what? All things. That is a powerful phrase. All things. I counseled with a young woman this week. And I was encouraging her as she's going through discouragement and depression. That what she needs to do is get close to God and tap into his power in her life. She said, well, I've tried this and I've tried that. No, you need to quit trying. You need to turn to God. You can't do it on your own. You've got to find God's power in your life. God's power. What a phrase. All things. And I don't know what you're going through. I know that there are some here today who are going through some physical problems, some financial, many spiritual, some emotional. We are emotional creatures. God made us that way. And I know that what God tells us is he has made provision. We don't have to do it ourselves. Let me share a few scripture verses if I can. Matthew 19:26. With God all things are possible. What things? All things are possible. Romans 8:28. We know that all things work together for good. To those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. What things work together? All things. What that means is simply this. Even the bad things in your life that happen, God can make them for good. God's able to take these bad things, and I don't know how he does it, but he miraculously transforms them into good things in our life. All things work together for good. 2 Corinthians 9:8. God is able to make all things abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. Sufficiency in what? All things. That means there's enough. Have you ever ordered something from Amazon and maybe you've got to assemble it, and it takes a number of screws and bolts to put it together. And you begin to assemble it, and you don't have enough screws or bolts. Insufficient. God says, you'll never have that with me. Whatever you're going through, I am sufficient. I'm all you'll ever need. And I will supply for you, I will give to you all you'll ever need. Now, our young people won't understand this, but they need to listen to it anyway. You are not always going to be young. As a matter of fact, you will be getting old before you know it. Amen, ladies? Isn't that right? Y'all may not know this. I'm 68 today. I was 28 last week, I feel like. It does go that quick, doesn't it? When you start getting older, though, life gets harder. First of all, you start losing people you love. That's hard. It's hard to lose a mom, isn't it, Georgia? Especially one that's been such an example to you. Friends that you've been close to, brothers, siblings, life is hard. And then you go to the doctor and the doctor doesn't give you good news. And well, I can give you a prescription, it'll help with the pain. But that just takes you so far, doesn't it, Russell? Life's not easy. But God is sufficient. He supplies everything we need. If you look at the Apostle Paul, Paul has gone through his life proclaiming the gospel. When he's at the end of his life, he basically reminds us that God is sufficient. He said, I have run my race. I have finished my course. And there is laid up for me now a crown of righteousness that the Lord has prepared for me. I've gone through it all, and God has been sufficient for me. Not saying it's always easy. And I know that some of you were facing battles and you're saying, Pastor Ken, I don't know, Romans 4:13. David, Romans 4:13. Excuse me, Philippians. Well, it used to be Romans, I think. He wrote it in Rome or something. Paul says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. All things through Christ who strengthens me. God is not going to take every problem away from you. But He will give you the strength to go through it. Why doesn't He just take it away from me? Because He's growing you into the image of Christ. He's maturing you. And we mature and grow through pain and suffering and sacrifice, that we might become like Him who gave His life for us. I can do all things through Christ. Never to quit, never to give up, but to recognize in all things that God is sufficient and that He will supply everything we need to have within our life. Number four. Okay. Back on track again. Sorry, David. How do we get that power in our life? How do we appropriate that power? How do we do it? How do we unlock that potential that God has ahead of us? It's in the Scripture. You saw it, didn't you? It's plain and obvious. Look at the text. His divine power has given all things that we need for life and godliness through, here's the key, our knowledge of Him who has called us by His own glory and goodness. You want to get stronger? Know Christ better. You want to understand how to be sustained through suffering? We find it in Christ. You see, that's why we continue in our Bible studies. That's why we continue in our daily devotions. That's why you come to a seminar like WOW, to be encouraged and to be refreshed and to be strengthened and to be reminded about Christ. Proverbs 24:5 makes this statement. Solomon, a wise man is strong, yes, a man of knowledge increases strength. You don't study the Bible to become a scholar. You don't study the Bible so you can answer questions on Jeopardy. You study the Bible to learn more about Him. Because I tell you, He is so awesome, you'll never figure him out. Once you think you've got it, all of a sudden, there's a different facet of him and you're, wow. We learn about him. We begin to see how God worked in him and we understand how God works in us. No matter how much you study Christ, how much you learn about Christ, and I'm not talking facts, I'm talking about those heart things that you pick up in prayerful Bible study about him. It sustains us in life. I want you to look at our text in a different translation. This is the New Living Translation. By his divine power, God has given us everything for living a godly life. We have received all this by coming to know him. Let me ask you a simple question. Can you remember when you first came to know Christ? I know for some of you, I'm asking you to think back over decades. For me, I was in college. I was a sophomore in college. And I do not remember the specific date that I could pinpoint on a calendar. But I know when it was. I know where it was. I was in my dorm room and I knelt down beside my bed. I had read some scripture. I had never picked up the Bible and read before, but God was speaking to me. And there in that dormitory room. And I don't know why, but I remember when I knelt to pray, my tennis racket was laying on my bed and I had to pick it up and move it. Don't know why I recall that. But I remember I prayed, and not remembering the exact prayer, but what I prayed is so similar to what I pray now. God, I know I need you, and I can't do it myself. Jesus, I need you in my life. Because that is the Gospels. The Gospel is simple. God loves us. Our sin separated us from God. And we all know that we've been rebellious and bullheaded and sinful. Jesus died on the cross to pay the penalty for our sin, but we have to invite him into our life. John says, but to as many as have received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. The final thing on the outline is this. God's power in us begins with a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. It's really that simple. Do you know him? And are you still continuing to grow in him and to learn more of him and to get closer to him? Are you allowing him to be the one in your life that you just love so much? It's worth all that. You need God's power, Jesus. You need his guidance, it's Jesus. You're going through a storm and you need someone to walk with you, it's Jesus. It's really simple. The apostles understood it. They walked with him. They lived their life walking with him. And they have the power they needed to live for Christ. I grew up in church, Presbyterian church. Church I came up in was founded over 200 years ago. It's an older church. Went to Sunday school, sang Sunday school songs. But here's what happened. I knew about Christ. I could quote the catechism that we went through. I could tell you some things about Jesus, learn some Bible stories about Jesus. I knew about Jesus, but I did not know him. I did not know him. And it was in college that day when it ceased to be a head knowledge and it became a heart knowledge. I'm going to ask you to stand with me if you would. And I'm going to ask you if you wouldn't mind just bow your heads and close your eyes. Because I want to talk to you as individuals, and I don't want you thinking other people are looking at you. I think the question God would have me ask you today is, do you know my son? Do you know him? Not a head knowledge, facts about him. Do you know him? Have you experienced him in your life? Have you experienced his forgiveness? And that's where it all begins, people. It all begins with the forgiveness of Christ in our life. We are a forgiven people because he loves us that much. Do you know him? Do you know his forgiveness? Have you enjoyed his mercy and grace in your life? For me, that journey started when I was about to turn 20. When did the journey start for you? Or maybe the journey needs to start today. I knelt down and prayed beside the bed in my dorm. You can pray there where you stand. Pray with me if you would. You could put your own words to it in your heart, but Father God, I know I need you. I cannot do this myself. I want to know your son. I know I've sinned and rebelled, but your love has pursued me, Lord, that I might know Christ. Forgive me and come into my life. I want to be your child. I want to experience your power in my life. I want to be able to face obstacles with courage and faith. So, Father, have your way. Minister to me. Draw me close to you, that I might know your power and that I might live my life in that power. For it's in the Savior's name that we pray. Amen.